All right, amen. Good to see you this morning. You guys glad to be here? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. A couple of you. It's good to be here. Matthew chapter 6, and today is the last message in our series, Something Greater, and we're going to be taking a break for just a minute on Matthew chapter 5 and 6, and we're going to, after missions conference, jump back into Matthew chapter 7 and finish that out before the end of this year. And I don't know about you, but missions conference is my favorite time of year. In fact, missions month is my favorite time of year. You know, really in a lot of ways, when we talk about missions, and we talk about local and global missions, it realigns and recalibrates us as a church. And I remember, I've been pastoring for 20 years now, and God gave me the privilege of pastoring and planting a church in Chicago for 13 years. And in the life of every church, and this is true of Southgate, it's true of the churches that I've been involved with, there are seasons, there's ebb and flow to the life and the ministry, the history, the development, the maturation of every single church. And there's good days, there's hard days, there's difficult times and difficult seasons. There's times where you have the money and the resources to do many of the things that you want to do. There's other times when it's just lean. And what I've found in my experience and what God has done in my life and the life of the churches that I've personally been a part of is that when the church focuses on the Great Commission, it just seems like things end up where they need to be. And I just find it to be true that when God finds a church that's willing to sacrifice and a church that's willing to be very focused on reaching the unreached and introducing people to a relationship with Jesus, God looks for churches like that that he's going to bless and that he's going to partner with. And so for me, I can't wait until next week. We're going to jump out in Matthew chapter 28 and talk about the Great Commission. And I recognize that it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I trust that the Holy Spirit will stir our hearts afresh and anew. Amen? And so maybe you can read ahead and be ready for that. We're in Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin reading this morning in verse number 25. The Bible says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Sometimes I just want to say to Jesus, "Are you kidding me?" Come on, amen? I mean, I just stop right there and talk to you for the next 25 minutes while I feel like what Jesus is about to say is some of the most absurd things I've ever heard in my life. And this is what Jesus is saying to us, to me and to you. He says, look, don't be anxious about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, about your body, about what you put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And this way, oh, you have little faith. Oh, you have little faith. And that's so convicting. I don't know, for me, I step out and get ahead of God and I worry about things that I shouldn't worry about. And I don't know about you this morning, but I feel like God's just speaking directly to me in this particular subject. He says in 31, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, they seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, for this reason, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There's so much in this text I could spend the next several weeks on. And what's fascinating about this passage of Scripture is that it actually comes on the heel of what Jesus was talking about in terms of generosity. And a lot of us, we fail to be generous in our lives. We fail to give. We fail to serve. We fail to do a lot of things in a large degree because we are anxious about, we are worried about clothing, food, raiment, and our needs. And that's not what the message is about today, but I thought it would be worth mentioning because in these passages of Scriptures that we've looked at in Matthew chapter 6, We believe that God has something greater for us. It's the title of the series is Greater Than. You see, God wants us to live a life greater than we ever imagined, a life greater than we can dream up, a life greater than we can orchestrate on our own apart from God. And so Christ calls us to live life to the fullest, and he unapologetically calls us to something greater. He calls you and me to live for the kingdom. He calls us to live for eternity. He calls us to really live for what's significant. And listen, you can't live life to the fullest if you're full of worry. If you're constantly focused on tomorrow, if your life is stressed out, and you're paralyzed by over-analysis of everything, it's incredibly difficult to live life the way that God intended for us to live. And what we're talking about in all of this, and in every one of these passages, and I want to bear on this for just a minute, because there's a lot of folks in this room today that know a lot of the Bible, okay? There are a lot of you that know a lot of the Bible. Now, one of the missionaries was in April's class today, the newborns. They're going to be in our missions conference, and he brought up, you know Andrew Livingston, you know, and every missionary, obviously newborns are here, and I'm going to tease you a little bit. Every missionary knows Andrew, Adoniram Judson. It might have been, what was the missionary? Oh, David Livingston, sorry. See, I don't even know what I'm talking about up here. But David Livingston from Africa, and I heard someone out of my ear say, well, who's that, you know? And there's some folks in here today, honestly, I'm going to read this text, and Jesus is talking, they're like, you know, Solomon arrayed in all its glory. Well, who's Solomon? They don't know. Like, there are folks in here, but the vast majority of us in here, we know the Bible. And here's the rub. We know the Bible, but we're still mean to each other. Amen? We know the Bible, and yet we still worry, and we lack faith, just like the disciples. Now, the disciples were some messed up cats, right? I mean, Jesus, like, saw a guy who could not see, spit in his eyes, just straight up, you can see now. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He casted out demons, and these guys were still worried about if Jesus could provide for them. Now, that's a whole nother conversation, but in all reality, we're no better than the disciples. We're not willing to take Jesus at his word. We still live with the same worry. We still live with the same attitudes. We still act, as the text would say this morning, we act like and live for the same things that people who do not know Jesus Christ act like and live for. We do that. And there's this great disparity between what we know and how we live. So spiritual maturity isn't about the knowledge of this book. You can know a lot about Jesus. You can know a lot about the Bible. And you could be mean as the devil. And some of you are. And you need to get that right today. And I see some spouses going, talking to you. So here's what Jesus is getting at in all these passages as we kind of wrap up Matthew 6. And that is this. Do you have a religious reputation or do you actually have a relationship with Jesus? But you can't walk with Jesus and be the same person that you were a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. You can't walk with Jesus and live with worry and not live with generosity and not live with faith in your life and not live with peace and joy and purpose. And you can't walk with Jesus and not live for eternity and see the eternal kingdom of God coming to fruition in your life because you have this relationship with him. And so Jesus is inviting us to live for something greater, a life devoted to him. And I just want to ask you this morning, are you actually living life to the fullest? Are you experiencing the abundant life that Jesus promised to those who follow him? He says, I came to give you life, and I came to give it to you abundantly. Are you living in abundance? Now, if I were to ask you this morning, what do you think is the most quoted and most frequent command in the Bible? It might surprise you. As far as what it is, one of the most repeated commandments in the Bible, and I believe one of the things that prevents us from experiencing real joy, real purpose, and real peace in our life, and that is this command, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Did you realize that over 300 times in the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, over 300 times we are commanded, to do not fear, do not be afraid, do not worry, do not be anxious. And most people people may or may not consider procrastination and anxiety especially sinful, yet they are temptations, and Americans are struggling with this particular area of their life. In fact, 3 out of 5, 60% of Americans, 60% of those who live in the United States would say that they're tempted to worry or be anxious. Now, I worry a little bit. I do. And that's kind of my sarcasm coming out, right? I tend to worry a lot about a lot of things. I have fears. I've often wondered if I'd ever overcome a lot of the fears and worries that I have in my own life. In fact, I could tell you a story, and I may have told you before, and if I have, I apologize. But for those who haven't heard this, I remember several years ago, back in 2016, 2017, I was on the way back from the city of Chicago. I was on the metro, on the train, coming home. I was just finishing up a counseling appointment with my therapist, and she had met with me that day, and we'd worked through some things, and I'm riding on the metro, on the train. It's an hour ride home, and I'm on the phone with my wife, and I told her on the train, I said, I'm having, like, insane chest pains, and I'm having shortness of breath, and I don't know what to do. And then there's this crazy thing that happened next. My phone went dead. And then she's freaking out. And she's like, are you alive? And when I got off the train, I didn't go straight home. I went to see a cardiologist in our church. I said, hey, Mike, are you around? And can I come see you? He's like, come by the house. And so Mike began to tell me, and he says, what you're experiencing is a panic attack. You're overdoing it. And here's the thing, and I remember there was a season in my life, and I'm embarrassed to even share this with you. I would go to church on Sunday mornings, and I was so stressed out, and I was so worked up, and I was so burnt out. And I was having some other health issues, too, that the doctors finally figured out what was going on. And I remember going to church on Sunday mornings, man, and it was so hard. Because I felt like, man, I need to be in church. I need to be in worship. I know God cares about me. I know God loves me. But why am I feeling these things? I mean, God parted the Red Sea. He came back from the dead. Why am I afraid? And I remember going to church on Sunday mornings, and I would come into the church building, and for whatever reason, the thing that God called me to do was causing me this angst and this anxiety. And I'd have chest pains, and I would have shortness of breath. And all I could do is go to my office, and when it was time for me to preach, I would come out and I would preach, and then I'd go back to my office and I'd go home the rest of the day, and just, I would have to unpack all of that. And I remember saying to my wife one day, I said, I don't know if I'm ever going to be normal again. I don't know if I'm ever going to feel good again. I don't know that I'm ever going to be at peace again. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to walk in the church and not feel this anxiety and this pressure on my chest. I don't know if I'm ever going to have that peace. But here's what I know. Here's what I know, and I still get a little anxious sometimes. He's still working on me. You know, the kids sing that song, it took him just a week to make the moon and the stars. But he's still working on me. And that's the truth that I find in the Word of God for me, and that's one of the truths that I find for you. What about you? Is he working on you? What do you worry about? I want to challenge you right now, write down 2 or 3 things that you're worrying about. Just write them down, and we'll come back to them at the end of the message today. Write down 2 or 3 things that trigger you, that cause you anxiety, that cause you to worry, that cause you to wake up at 3 a.m. and you can't go back to sleep. What are those things that are causing you to worry? Is it finances? Is it your future? Is it the family? Is it health? Is it friends? Will anyone like me? Is it my future? Worry is universal. It often steals a brighter tomorrow. It has a way of robbing us of possibility. Worry prevents you from living a greater life. It prevents you from living an abundant life. In fact, worry overwhelms and paralyzes us to the possibilities of God in our life. So in our text, what Jesus does is he confronts worry head on by calling us to more and greater. Now, let me say this. Mental health is a really big thing right now. Emotional health is a big thing. There are some likely in this room today who feel shame over their own personal mental and emotional health. They might feel shame for seeing a therapist or taking medications. And the promises of God for some of you this morning, for many of you sitting in this room today, the promises of God seem so distant to you personally, because the feelings are so big, so real, and so overwhelming. What I do know, and I don't have all the answers today, but what I do know, no matter what you're feeling today, no matter what you're experiencing today, I want you to know this. God cares about you. God loves you. And His Word speaks to how we can experience this life, how we can grow to trust Him more and more, and often to move the needle, listen to me, often to move the needle, I'm talking incremental change here, to move the needle from doubt to dependence is very small and it's very incremental. But we have to ask ourselves, what are our emotions telling us about ourselves? And what are they telling us about our relationship with God? More importantly, what are they telling us about who He is and how faithful He is? Because He will in time, often very slowly and very deliberately, God will at one point or another reveal His faithfulness, His character, His power, His presence, and His Spirit. He's going to reveal it to you if you seek Him. You can grow. And no one here today is going to shame you or guilt you. And here's the truth, guys. Please note this today. Write this down. God is not calling me to be a spiritual giant. Amen? Amen? Come on. God just wants me to follow Him. He wants me to follow Him. He's calling us to take a step, to grow in trust and dependence on Him. And so what we find in our text today is Jesus gives hope to the fearful. Some of you are worrying about what you're going to wear. Some of you are worrying about the future. Some of you are worried about college and how am I going to pay for that. We've got kids in here that start school tomorrow. New school, new building, new teachers, new friends possibly. You've got, on top of kids going to school together tomorrow, you've got helicopter moms, right? Amen? You got some moms that are stressing out that are going to drop their kids off at kindergarten for the first time, and they're not going to realize the incredible blessing it is to farm your kids out to someone else. Amen? Amen? Come on. I'm just saying, nothing wrong with a little mani-pedi, right? Jesus gives us hope, man. Jesus rescues the warrior. He strengthens the weak. He provides a way forward for us to be delivered from a lesser life. And here's the big idea. This is what we want to talk about. Faith in God's purposes and promises will overcome your fears. I'm going to tell you that to be true. And I know some of you this morning, man, you've done everything that you think you can. And yet, there's no hope. There's no relief. There's no respite for the warrior. So when you struggle with anxiety and worry, you can anchor your heart to God's purpose for your life and His promises for you. That's very personal. And it begins with what Jesus says in verse 25, and that is, once again, our calling. It's our calling. It all goes back to our calling. And our calling is, and we've been saying this over and over again for the last several weeks, your calling is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Your calling is to be a follower of Jesus. Your calling is to be known and loved by God. And so it doesn't matter what you eat and what you wear and whether or not you succeed according to the metrics of this culture and the metrics of this society. Success measured in the kingdom of God is measured by how you follow Jesus. And when you follow Him and when you fail, because you will, you are still immeasurably loved by Him. That's the calling. And so He says, He's calling us. He says, look at what He says in this passage of Scripture in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious for your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. And this is what He says. Underline this in your Bible. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? There's got to be more than life than eating a good steak at a steakhouse. And if you know me, man, my favorite place to eat is Fogo de Chao. They have 18 different cuts of meat. They bring it out on swords and they cut it off onto your plate. I really believe that's what heaven is going to be like. I do, man. Got a green disc, turn it over on green, and they just keep coming, man. It's paradise is what it is. I love food. I like nice things. But Jesus says, look, man, life is more than food and stuff. It's more than that. Doesn't life consist more of this? In fact, here's what Jesus is doing. He's stepping, Jesus is so kind. He's not condemning them. He's being compassionate. And He steps in to their, he knows they're worried about what are they going to eat. Now, back in the day, Jesus' time, 2,000 years ago, what you were going to eat is kind of an issue. Now, I could, you know, text Ellie in the middle of my sermon and say, hey, hop on the Sonic app and get Sonic app and get me a bacon, egg, and cheese toaster, a chili cheese tot, and get me a Coke Zero and make it Route 44 size, and it'd be ready for me as soon as church is over. Not in Jesus' day. These were real concerns for them. But even then, Jesus is pressing into them, and he's saying life is more than this. And so what he does is, this is what Jesus does. He knew what they were afraid about, and this is what he does. He stands in the midst of our fears, and he calls us to a life of faith. Jesus knows, this is the point, Jesus knows what you're afraid of. Jesus knows what you're worried about. Jesus knows what keeps you up at night. Jesus knows what makes you anxious. It might be a boss. It might be a coworker, someone that's undermining you, someone that's making your life hard. Man, on and on and on I can go, but the Holy Spirit will make application to your fears this morning. But the point is this, Jesus steps into it. And he says, I'm here with you in this, and I want to show you, stop worrying about things you can't control and start understanding what it is that I'm calling you to do. In fact, he uses this word, do not be anxious. The Greek word, merimō, it means to divide, to rip, and tear apart. That's what the word means. When you worry, you're divided, you're ripped apart, and you're tearing apart what Jesus didn't intend for you to tear apart. So when you worry, your focus, your energy is divided. Your allegiance, divided. Worry divides. Listen to this. Worry divides a person in a way that makes it difficult for you to concentrate on what God wants you to concentrate on and accomplish today. Are you guys with me? Say amen. When I'm worried about my finances, when I'm worried about the future, when I'm worried about my 17-year-old walking out of Cox Hospital at 11 o'clock at night by herself, wondering if she's going to get thrown into a van, right? Because parents worry about stuff like that, all right? At least parents that care about their kids. The other night, Brianna come home, and she goes, hey, I saw this girl on the side of the road, and her car was broke down, so I let her use my phone. I'm like, are you out of your mind? She's like, Dad, it was a kid. She was my age. I was like, there could have been someone in the back seat with a knife, right? You know, because good parents do that. We worry. We worry. We're divided. And it causes us not to be able to focus on what we need to focus on in that moment. Now, the meaning focuses on the effects of worry. Think about this. It rips you apart. It tears you up. Sometimes a person has trouble sleeping. You have trouble focusing. Kind of like a deer in headlights. The perilous of overanalysis is what we would call that. An upset stomach, cramps, ulcers, all of that results from worry. You see, worry, what worry does, and no one wants to hear this, because we think our worries are justified, and we rationalize our worries. We do. Oh, man, well, I'm worried about this. Well, I'm worried about that. Well, you know, and you got friends that'll come to you and step to you, but man, I understand why you're worried about that. And so we soothe our worries with justifications. But here's the truth about worry. Worry puts the focus on me. It puts the focus on me. And intrinsically, worry is selfish. It's all about me. It's about my protection, my preservation, my wants, my needs, my agenda. Not on Jesus, not in his plans. So we kind of sort of want to pursue the kingdom. We kind of want to follow Jesus. We kind of want to trust him, but we only do it until life gets precarious. See, fear and worry want to be the boss. Worry's looking for control. So Jesus steps in the midst of our fears. He calls us to a life of faith, and that's the calling. But then secondly, we see this challenge. The challenge is to look at God's promises instead of your problems. I had a counselor recently tell me this. He said, the things that you focus on become big. That's not even in the Bible. That's just good stuff right there. I mean, Jesus is saying as much here, but the things that you focus on become bigger. The things that you put your attention to become bigger. The things that you worry about become bigger. And so Jesus says, look, what you're good at doing is you're good at looking at your problems, and you're not really good at looking at my promises. You're not really good at looking at my consistency and my track record and my faithfulness. And I think a group of people in the Bible that really illustrate for us, illustrate this for us is the children of Israel. I mean, God did multiple plagues to deliver them from the Egyptians. I mean, some crazy stuff. God's like, bam, frogs all over the place, but not with Israel. Locusts, water, blood in the water. I mean, crazy stuff that God did. And if that wasn't enough, on the way out of town, everybody said, here, take our stuff, right? And then they get down the road, and then Pharaoh's like, ah, you know, I changed my mind. And they come to the Red Sea, and they start complaining, and Moses just walks up to it. Boom. Water parted. They're walking through on dry ground. Fish are like trying to get out of the waves there while they're walking by. I can't wait to see a replay of that down the road when we get to heaven. You know? And then they cross the river, and they're hungry, and God's like, boom, manna. Well, we want meat. Boom, quail. Well, we're thirsty. Boom, let's get water from a rock. Over and over again, God just shows himself faithful. And he does it in our life, and yet we fail to realize and we fail to recognize we have this amnesia, if you will, of the provision of God at every turn and at every moment in our life. So I just want to say this. Jesus isn't here to condemn us for our fear. He's here to strengthen our faith. And he recognizes the challenge that we faced in trusting him and putting our faith in him, because our problems are real. And yet our faith can seem so distant when afraid. And what we do is we maximize our problems and we minimize God's promises. We maximize our problems and we minimize God's promises. Jerry Bridges said it this way: oftentimes the situation at hand looms larger in our minds than the promises of God. And there's this close connection between what we worry about, what we think we need. And listen, if you don't have what you need right now, you likely don't need it right now. God knows what you need, and when you need it, it will be there. Now, it might be the 11th hour, and you might be busting a sweat, and you might be afraid and worried and scared, but I can tell you over and over and over again, I've seen God show up in the 11th hour and deliver, guess what? In his time. In his time. Worry's focused on tomorrow. God said he's already taken care of that. He's taking care of our needs. In fact, God is already in our tomorrows. Worry takes up residence when something that we value in jeopardy. And Jesus actually hears my short-sighted concerns, and he sets to prove that our daily needs, our physical needs, are actually important to God. That's what Jesus is doing in this passage. He's saying, your problems, your needs, they matter to me. But what's more important is your faith. What's more important is that you're growing. And so Jesus takes their two basic needs that were a big deal in that day, and he illustrates it. He says, look. Jesus says to them, he says, look at the birds. Consider the birds. And this is what Jesus says. Consider the birds, disciples, because they're eating. They're eating. That's eating is like Southern, okay? The birds are eating. Now check out the birds. The birds don't ask for help, but they receive help. It's fascinating. They're not going, oh, dear Jesus, thank you for this food. We need, you know, more. No, the birds just eat. And Jesus points that out. They do not sow, they do not reap, they do not gather in barns. Jesus is saying God has built into this creation the means by which all things are cared for. And he says to them, look at the birds and learn to trust God. Look at the birds. I mean, isn't that a simple, powerful illustration? So when you're worried about money, when you're worried about finances, when you're worried about your 401k, if you're worried about whatever, birds are taken care of. It's just such a simple thing. Just look at the birds. And then he takes it a step further, and he says, consider the lilies. They're dressed. They do not toil. They do not spin. And here's the thing, and this is all that Jesus is saying in this passage. If God cares for the transient aspects of creation. I mean, dude, we're talking birds. Birds are okay. There was a dead bird in my backyard the other day. There's no soul. I mean, there's a beauty to them, especially if you're a bird watcher, right? But they're birds. Flowers, lilies, they're flowers. They come, they go. But in all of this, God is taking care of his kingdom. He's taking care of his creation. And if God is willing to take care of birds and flowers, wouldn't it stand to reason that God is willing to take care of his own children? And that's the challenge. And in Psalm 56:3, and I don't know how you get. Sometimes I get so stressed out and so worried, so anxious, so overwhelmed And this is what I hate when people say to me, well, just pray about it. I just feel like smacking someone to the glory of God when they say dumb stuff like that. Even though I know it's true. I'm a pastor. I would say, let's pray about it. I just, you know, duh, okay, I'll pray about it. But there have been times where I've needed to pray about something, and I didn't know what to say. I couldn't breath a prayer. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you know what I mean? You're in that moment, and there's words can't capture what you're feeling. And Psalm 56:3, man, just is an anchor and a balm to my soul. Because at times when I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. And there have been so many times where I didn't know what to say. And I said, God, I don't know what to say. And I'm afraid, and I'm scared, and I don't know how this is going to unfold. But I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. Because if the bottom falls out, I hope you're going down with me. So there's the challenge. And then he says, look, but you can have confidence. To have enough faith to pursue God's kingdom. In verse 32, look at what Jesus says. It's just absurd what Jesus is telling us to do. He says, man, the Gentiles seek after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that. You need them all. But then he says, look, instead of going after life in the way that people that do not know me go after life and that pursue life and try to build a life, I want you to instead seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all this stuff that you're worried about, all this stuff you need, all this stuff you're concerned about, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. And here's what you could write down today. This isn't in your notes. But here's what you could write down. Worship is the antidote to worry. Worship. Worship. And when I talk about worship, I'm not, yes and amen, I'm talking about what we do here on Sunday, but I'm just talking about walking with Jesus. I'm talking about getting into the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to shape our heart and our mind and our souls and our inner man, developing our confidence in the faithfulness of God and the character of God, seeking what God wants for our life. And there have been times, man, where I've just looked, man, I can tell you moments, man. I remember one time I had to make a decision in the church, and I'm 28 years old, and we had just built this $2 million building, and on the backside of our property, at the time we had 30 acres of property, and we had this big, two big dirt hills, one with dirt and then one with clay. I didn't know what to do. Stressed out, 28 years old. Never been in a situation like this before. I just got out of my office and I started walking the property and I found myself on the backside of this hill. Just, God, are you kidding me? And then in the moment, God says, what I am teaching you is of more value than the answer that you need in this moment. What I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you perseverance. I'm teaching you to trust me. See, there's this great richness that comes to life when we first seek the kingdom of God. And this morning, man, Jesus invites you to trust him. And this morning you can follow him and know his promises are true. Because listen, Jesus went to Calvary. He died on a cross, and 3 days later, he victoriously came back from the dead, holding the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Amen? And if Jesus can overcome that, he can certainly deliver on the promises that we find in his word when he says that he'll supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. Now, honestly, all this seems absurd. You're saying to me, Pastor, when I'm afraid, I'm supposed to pursue a life that I can't see. I'm not saying that. Jesus is. Take it up with him. Jesus is saying, pursue the kingdom. Yes. Because Jesus is saying in our text, our greatest need, our greatest needs are not physical. Our greatest needs are spiritual. Our greatest needs are spiritual. And I can say with confidence that a life of faith is the fullest life lived. Paul Tripp says we're called to a life of faith, but faith isn't natural to us. Doubt and worry are. So God in grace works to craft faith in us. That's why Peter said, Peter, man, he was a worrier. Peter was messed up, man, had all kinds of fear. Steps out of the boat, what does he do? Takes his eyes off Jesus, drowns. Jesus picks him up out of the water. Jesus is Peter's in the garden, Gethsemane, the soldiers come, they try to take Jesus away, pulls out Malchus's sword, chops his ear off. Why? He's afraid. Standing by the fire, girl says, I thought you knew Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. Three times, and he curses her out. He gets confronted for his bigotry and his prejudice. And so he sides with the Jews, even though he knew God had called them to the Gentiles. And later on in life, you know what Peter would say? Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He learned in time to trust God. He grew from a place of doubt to a place of dependence. God can do that in your life today. The issue isn't whether or not we're worried. The Bible just assumes that. But what's most important is where we turn or to whom do we turn. The cure to worry is to know the one that we're called to trust. We take our cue from the king, and the king isn't fretting over anything. He's in complete control because only faith, listen to me this morning, only faith can loosen us from our worries. Faith is confidence in an idea, person, or thing. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is increased by the word of God. In Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The more you read Scripture, the more you actually talk to God, and rather than think about what you're worrying about, trade your fear. Do this morning. Trade your fear for faith. God's word is filled with promises that we often ignore, and we have amnesia of his faithfulness in our life. And so I want to challenge you to take your fears to him. Take your worry. Take your anxiety. Take the greatest things that you find that paralyze you and take them to the Lord. See, faith is about knowing God in an intimate, personal way, trusting God because he's trustworthy. Faith sees more, not less. So this week, we got students starting school, new teachers, new buildings, maybe new friends, young people, students, college students. God's inviting you to trust him. Moms and dads, you don't need to helicopter over them. Give your kids and their hearts and their lives to Jesus. See what he does. I have this fear, man, that I'm going to mess my kids up. I do. I'm not being funny. And I know I cope with a lot of uncomfortable situations with sarcasm, and I acknowledge that. And this isn't one of those moments. But I really do. I wonder sometimes, because I grew up in a really awkward home. I grew up in a very abusive home. And I just have this constant worry, like, am I going to mess my kids up? I worry about that. And in fact, I was talking to my counselor this week. I was like, I really feel like my kids are going to end up seeing you one day. And they're going to have a lot to talk about. I worry about that. I want my kids to know I worry, and I wonder, do they know I love them? I know sometimes I have a short fuse. I know sometimes I lose it on them. I worry about those things. I worry about if I'm going to have enough for the future. I worry about how am I going to retire. I worry about if people are going to like me, and on and on and on and on and on and on I can go. So what I want to do is come back to this is, what were the two or three things that you wrote down today? What are the things that you're worrying about? What are the things that you have fears of? What are the things that you're struggling with? I don't know what it is that you're worrying about, what causes you fear, what keeps you up at night, but what I do know is that God can deliver you from every single one of the fears that you listed today. He can. So this morning, I want to invite you to leave your fear at the altar. I want you to pursue the life of faith that Jesus has called you to live, because you'll never really know the joy that you were designed to experience until you learn to walk by faith, hand in hand, with Jesus. So can I have every head bowed, every eye closed? How many of you say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know that I'm right with God. I know that I'm forgiven of my sin. I know heaven is my home. Would you lift your hand and just let me see that by way of testimony today? Amen. Now, how many of you say to me this morning, Pastor, I don't know, man, that I'm right with God. And man, if there ought to be anything that you're worried about, it's whether or not you are right with God. But how many of you say to me this morning, I don't know if I'm right with God. I don't know that I'm forgiven of my sins. I don't know that heaven is my home. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you this morning? Is there anyone? Yes, sir, I see your hand. Thank you for being so honest this morning. Anyone else? Now, how many of you say to me, Pastor, there are some things I'm worrying about, and it's just overwhelming. And I want to live the abundant life. I want to live life to the fullest. Would you pray for me that God would help me to overcome the fears and the worries that I have in my life? Would you just lift your hand and let me see those today? It's almost universal across the room. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, God, I Would you guys just stand to your feet? Father, as we stand to our feet and worship to you this morning, this is a heavy topic because it touches so many of us. It touches our lives, and we like to pretend that we're not afraid, and we cover it with sarcasm. We cover it with performance and so many other ways in which, instead of trying to figure out why we feel the way we feel and understanding where you fit into all of this, we cope, and we have coping mechanisms and coping strategies when you've called us to live by faith and you are ready to deliver. And I just pray over this crowd today, this audience of worshipers, of Christ followers, and maybe some in this room that maybe have no relationship with you. Deliver us from our fears. Deliver us from our worries. Help us to live with a mighty, bold faith for the kingdom of God and for others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Southgate, the invitation today is simple. Right now, Derek started playing with the team. Right now, some of you wrote down two or three things and they're paralyzing you. They're overwhelming you. They're consuming you. You're not living the life that God has called you to live. And I want to encourage you right here, right now, bring those fears to the altar and give them to me. A faithful father and a loving friend. Would you do that today?